Patriots Football Weekly is delivered to you by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason? Morning Meeting, brought to you by Verizon. Better matters.
Well, the Texans are coming to town for this divisional matchup, and no one in these parts is giving them a chance. Is there
not just these parts? No one anywhere. Maybe okay. In Houston, I'm not even sure.
There might be a few people in Houston that are, you know, giving them a chance. But is there anything different from the Texans that we saw earlier in the season, 27-0 with Jacoby Brissett and this team? I would assume that, like most teams, they've improved since earlier in the season, right? No,
I think defensively, I think that they probably have gotten a little bit better. Brian Cushing wasn't there at that time. But J.J. Watt is out for the whole year, too. I actually think they've regressed since then. I thought they got off to a decent start, and that was a sort of a slap in the face, losing to a third-string rookie quarterback on a Thursday night game, really getting embarrassed doing so. I think they sort of went downhill after that. Offensively, it just hasn't come together for Brock Osweiler. I think that the Texans are searching, and I don't – I think that the spread in this game, I think, is appropriate.
And well, the Patriots are different, by the way. This guy named Brady.
They're a lot better.
Running the offense.
Well, I think the Patriots and their defense and Tom Brady is different from
everything.
That game. Everything's different. But, you know, is there enough of a difference for Houston to at least give them a sniff of being competitive in this game? And I guess I'm thinking more toward their defense, obviously. Cushing wasn't there, and he's having a really good year.
Sure.
Even for Brian Cushing. Jadeveon Clowney, I think, has improved as the season has gone on.
Well, he clearly, I think, when Watt was gone after that game, had back surgery again out for the year, Clowney has gotten healthy, and I think he's sort of, I mean, if you're an optimist, you say he took ownership of the defense. If you're a pessimist, you say he sees himself coming to the end of his rookie contract and he's doing what he always does and taking care of Jadeveon Clowney. Be that as it may, he's making plays, he made the Pro Bowl, all of that. But I think Vince Wilfork was completely honest this week when he said, "We need to play our best game of the year to hang with the Patriots." He didn't say to beat them. He's actually using the word to hang with. I think the reality of the situation is they are a massive underdog.
Yeah, and I do think individually there's some talent on the defense. And, you know, I know that they're ranked number one, but that's yards. And, you know, we've been sort of poo-pooing yards for as long as we can remember around here. So I'm not overly impressed with that. Individually, I think they have some good corners. I think Jackson, Boye, and those guys, I think they're pretty good players. And I think you mentioned the linebackers. We didn't mention McKinney.
Right.
You know, next to Cushing. Belichick called that tandem the best inside, as good as any inside tandem they faced all year. So I think individually there's some talent there. Tom Brady has always handled this defense, and I just don't think they have enough answers offensively, Houston, to keep up. And that, to me, is the key.
You mentioned the coaching staff, the defense. The familiarity, we've talked about that over the years. You know, one of the ways to upset the Patriots was Mangini or Dable or those guys on Cleveland or the Jets. It hasn't worked for Houston. That theory that Bill O'Brien, Mike Vrabel, right. Romeo Crennel, they haven't actually been able to enact that theory. And I think Brady's numbers have been very good against Romeo's defenses over the years. So I just, even when you're grasping for some straw to pick the Texans, it's hard to find one.
All right, so... I hate disrespecting any opponent because it's the NFL and anything can happen.
Fred, the truth is never mean.
Let's assume everything that was just said is true and the Patriots have an easy go of it.
Yes.
You know, if it turns out to be an easy game, does that hurt them?
No. Why would it hurt them?
Can I flip it on you?
Okay.
What would you rather be, the Patriots coming off an easy game or theoretically what I think is going to be a very tough game between Kansas City and Pittsburgh? Would you rather be the winner of that game having gotten beat up in a war? You know, theoretically, the Patriots might be able to play, you know, three quarters against Houston, get some rest, keep everybody healthy, and move on to the next week. What would you rather be?
Listen, I'm just posing it out there. Obviously, you never want to get beat up because that's not good.
They're beyond.
But I'm just talking about having a tough test.
No, they're beyond the point of you know, proving their mettle. They
know,
did that.
They know what
they beat the Ravens at home. They went to Denver. They took care of business. They finished the season strong. They made a goal. We're going to finish this season. Unlike last year, we're going to finish hard. Brady's going to go into Miami and have a good game. We're going to roll the Dolphins. They did everything they needed to do to prove what they are and to put themselves in the position to benefit from having a cupcake and then hosting the AFC title game. They've earned it.
Yeah, these are the benefits of that.
Right. You don't play all year to say, boy, I wish I had a harder game on the divisional
round.
That's
why you win all those games.
Makes no sense.
Put yourself in the best position to move on when it counts.
Yeah. I'm just throwing it out there. Again, I'm
Why are you worried? Why are you
trying
to be pessimistic?
I'm not
try too hard.
Listen,
you're trying to be worried about something that's really not necessarily to be worried about.
Yeah, I'm not worried. I think that the Patriots will win this game, and whoever comes to Gillette next week, I think they're going to win that game too. So if I'm not worried about next week, I'm certainly not worried about this week.
This guy's already
going to be worried next week, just so you know.
Well, I will have a healthy dose of respect for the opponent. Let's put it that way. Whoever it is, whether it's Kansas City or Pittsburgh.
And Pittsburgh is the tougher opponent. You can now agree with me on that, correct? These healthy doses of respect that I've been serving
first?
For weeks?
Well, I'll tell you right here.
Did you watch the Steelers play the Dolphins?
Kansas City.
Oh, I'm telling you, they are. They're going to take care of business against the most overrated team left in the playoffs, the Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay, well, I you know.
And then the Killer Bees will come here, and then you can have your prove yourself, test your mettle.
And you might get your
them.
Pittsburgh ring, because I think
I don't
that
get
you
a
get
ring.
A ring if the Steelers win, right?
I might think Kevin Colbert's great, but I don't get a ring.
I think everybody else in that team you think is great, too.
No, I think their three stars are as good as any three-pack of stars in the NFL. And guess what? They can win with that. You saw what they did to the Dolphins. You saw what they did to the Ravens. You don't want to see that. You want Softy Reed. You want Softy Alex Smith to come trudging into Foxborough again and then not try to win.
All right, so
little impromptu trash.
Getting back to the Patriots in this game. If things go the way we think they will in this game,
Jimmy Garoppolo
is there a
will
point
play.
Where the Patriots take the foot off the gas?
Yes. I don't think they'll try to run it up on Billy O'Brien. I think there's a respect factor there both ways. I think, you know, obviously he spent his time here. That whole staff spent his time here. And, Paul, you sort of mentioned early in the week, the postseason's a little different. You don't really run it up. You sort of take your victory and move on to the next one and happy to advance and host the AFC title game, get guys rest. You know, I joke, but I do think there's a chance Jimmy Garoppolo could play in this game late in the game.
Very good chance.
Tom Savage could play. I think there's a chance both quarterbacks for Houston play because Brock Osweiler's terrible.
For a different reason, though.
Yeah, Brock Osweiler will be terrible, and Billy O'Brien, as he has wont to do over the years, will yank him the heck out of the game and put another guy in.
All right, well, we'll see.
Today's show is brought to you in part by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason? Fisher Plows. A whole new way to attack winter. And also brought to you in part by AT&T. AT&T. Mobilizing your world.
Back with From the Heart, and we have a matchup in the trenches once again. New England's offensive line, which was so impressive down the stretch, another major challenge for Nate Solder, Marcus Cannon, and company. Jadeveon Clowney now looks like the number one overall pick. He is a Pro Bowler, second team All-Pro. We saw on Wild Card Weekend he can affect a game as a rusher and dropping, making plays with his athleticism. He's a long player, Bill Belichick says. The other side, Whitney Mercilus, is a second team All-Pro pass rusher from the linebacker position. Two sacks, Wild Card Weekend. Clowney, Mercilus, they're going to come from both sides. They're going to try to get to Tom Brady. Can the offensive line stop them? It might be the only chance the Texans have at the upset.
Randy talked about a couple of the big guys up front on the outside. I'm going to focus on the big guy in the middle, Vince Wilfork. This could be his last season. He's already talked about the possibility of retiring at the end of this year. And if that's the case, what better way for him to go out, obviously for a Super Bowl title for Houston, but I'm thinking more realistically, his last game taking place right here at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, where he made so many plays over the years, a big part of that defensive line for years and years after being a first-round pick way back in 2004, two Super Bowl titles, 04 and also in 14. Not many more respected guys in that locker room, one of the defensive leaders for years and years. What better way to go out than right here at Gillette Stadium?
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter dumpster in a bag can take it on. Visit thebaxter.com for more info.
Trash Talk this week, we look at Billy O'Brien, the latest branch from the Bill Belichick coaching tree. Hasn't gone great for a lot of others on the tree. What do you think of Billy O'Brien?
Yeah, I think O'Brien's been okay, but really, I think if you look at the results, it hasn't been good for really anybody else. I mean, you look, Eric Mangini, Romeo Crennel, and all these guys that have been around the league, Charlie Weiss in the college ranks, it just hasn't worked out. And I think what happens to all of these guys, Andy, is they try to be Bill Belichick. instead of just embracing themselves. And I think that's one thing O'Brien's done a good job of.
Yeah, I think he is the most natural of the branches. But to be fair, he was a coach prior to coming to New England. He wasn't exactly the young buck like McDaniels or Patricia, those guys, Mangini, that really evolved under Belichick. And I think Billy O'Brien's the most successful. I think he went to a situation at Penn State was maybe the worst in sports history that you could go to as a coach, to have to deal with everything that went into that job. He won there. He had a successful stint there, earned himself a job in the NFL, earned himself the right to coach the Texans. Unfortunately, he hasn't had a quarterback. I think you said the number is 8 quarterbacks he's had. He's made the playoffs the last 2 years without a quarterback. You could say that Osweiler is an albatross around that team's neck. He has done it the hard way. He hasn't had a Brady in his head coaching stop. I think he's a good coach.
Yeah, I agree with you. You look at his college resume, and he won with Christian Hackenberg, and they're talking about him not even belonging in the NFL right now. So clearly he can coach, but I do get back to the personalities. And I think that you bring up a really good point with O'Brien, because he didn't really come here. He wasn't groomed in New England the way Josh McDaniels was, the way Eric Mangini was. He didn't go all the way through the Belichick regime. I think he was his own man when he got here, and I think that's what separates him. You look at Josh McDaniels, a guy that you and I have tremendous respect for. I think he tried to be exactly like Belichick when he went to Denver. There's only one problem. You had to have won something to have that right kind of respect, and I think that's what brings those guys down. They want to have the short answers and be really evasive to the media and do it the way Bill does it. Well, it wouldn't have worked for Bill. It didn't work for Bill that way in Cleveland because he hadn't had a track record. Now you have all these wins. You win 4 Super Bowls, and obviously it's much different for Belichick. And that's what these guys are going to learn. I'm going to be interested to see how McDaniels does it the next time around.
And Billy O'Brien also has another issue that we see these guys go through. Josh went through it in a certain sense in Denver, is the working relationship with your personnel department. And I think the quarterback position is sort of indicative of maybe a lack of a working relationship with Rick Smith, the GM in Houston, and how they got Brock Osweiler. Did Billy O'Brien want him? Can he get rid of him? What if Billy O'Brien wanted Jimmy Garoppolo? Is that going to be something the organization would back? Go get Jimmy Garoppolo and give me my quarterback that I'm comfortable with. I think he needs to get that comfortable situation. And we saw the rumors this offseason even. If he lost on wildcard weekend, could he be out? Maybe he wanted to be out. Maybe he was the source on some of those rumors. And I know all the teams that were looking for coaches, the reports were they would all be interested in Billy O'Brien. Why? Because he's a good young coach. That being said, he's probably going to get his butt kicked on Saturday night here at Gillette Stadium.
Yeah, it's probably not going to end well for him, but I totally agree that any of those teams would have been crazy not to at least entertain the idea of a guy who, as you said, won with 8 different starting quarterbacks over the years, winning back-to-back titles with guys like T.J. Yates and Brian Hoyer and now Brock Osweiler, the second lowest-rated passer in all of the NFL. This guy can coach. I think some of the others can coach too, but they just haven't had a chance to succeed yet. It's going to be interesting to see if they learn from their past mistakes.
If Billy O'Brien gets a quarterback, he will go to a Super Bowl, some team somewhere.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. Also brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Around the NFL is brought to you by Nissan.
With the regular season in the rearview mirror, we're starting to learn the front runners for the various awards. If the Associated Press All-Pro team is any indication, Tom Brady may not be selected as the league's MVP. Matt Ryan was the first team All-Pro at quarterback, and it's the same people voting for both awards. Brady got screwed for All-Pro, as I think he's the best quarterback in the league, but if he doesn't get MVP, I don't think it will be as much of an injustice. It's always a hot topic as to what this award really signifies, but if it's truly for the player most valuable to his team, for once, we got definitive proof of who that is. When Derek Carr went down, so too did the Raiders, big time. From a chance at the number one seed in the AFC, they dropped to number 5 and then out in the first round of the playoffs. Wasn't even competitive. Would the same have happened to the Falcons if they lost Flynn, the Patriots Brady, or the Cowboys Prescott or Elliott? Perhaps, but we can't know for sure. We know the answer with Carr. Come on, give the kid the award. It's hard to imagine a player more valuable to his team.
Players' Perspective. Putnam Investments is a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
This week we're joined by Patriots wide receiver Chris Hogan. Chris, you had a chance to to kick back a little bit and watch some of the wild card games this weekend. What was that experience like?
It was a neat experience for me. You know, I'm not used to playing in January. This will be my first playoff game. So, you know, watch the games, you know, the Houston-Oakland game closely, and then obviously the Pittsburgh-Miami game closely. You know, those were the teams that, you know, we would be facing this week. You know, watch them a little bit closer than you usually do when you're just, you know, kind of kicking back, watching football, you know, studying them a little bit and you know, just preparing, you know, mentally, you know, for this week and, you know, knowing that this is, you know, win or go home football.
You guys have a pretty dynamic and diverse group of receivers, and you got a couple guys coming back. It looks like you got Danny back on the practice field, and Malcolm. You bring in Michael Floyd. What's the group like? What's it been like working with these guys?
It's been this group is great, and you know, whoever it is, whether it's Julian, Malcolm, Danny, you know, Michael came in and made some big plays for us. So, you know, we've been making big plays, you know, throughout the entire year. Everyone's capable of, you know, making those, you know, those big plays for this offense. You know, we're getting guys healthy in, which is great, you know, because now we can put everyone out in the field and you know, feel confident in all those guys' abilities to go out there and make plays.
And when you guys, obviously your receivers all block, and that's something that Coach Belichick has always preached, but there's a little bit difference between blocking and blowing a guy up the way Michael did. What was it like when you watched the film of that? And I'm sure you receivers all had a lot of pride in that.
Yeah, man, I mean, it was awesome. We take a lot of pride in our blocking and just being physical in the run game. And the fact that he was able to come in here really in his first, you know, starting, you know, in this role and, you know, made a bit, you know, such a big block that spring Julian on that long touchdown was huge.
What was the process like for Houston the first time around? Obviously, you guys got the handle on them, but when you watch them now, do you feel like it's a different team than maybe you saw way back in week three?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this is, you know, that was week three football. You know, they're playing much better football now, and we have a, you know, a lot to prepare for. Their defense is, you know, playing really well and creating turnovers, so ball security is going to be huge for us. And, you know, taking advantage of, you know, the plays that we have down the field and then just, you know, playing good football, good complementary football and you know, kind of just stuff that we've been doing all year.
So you were a big-time lacrosse guy. I'll wrap it up with this. Did you ever play in any lacrosse games this big, NFL playoffs?
No, I don't. Nothing close to this magnitude, for sure. I guess maybe the biggest thing I could compare it to would be a conference, you know, conference game or something like that. You know, I never really got a chance to play in the NCAA playoffs, so this would definitely be the biggest game that I played in.
Well, good luck on Saturday.
Thank you.
Putnam Investments is a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
All right, it's time to get to the questions that you sent to us here on PFW TV. Lori writes in, I wonder if the loss of Gronk was unavoidable. His surgery was said to be minor, and I wonder if giving him a little rest till the AFC game was possible.
If you were going to try to wait 7, 8, 9 weeks and then have a guy jump back in at the Super Bowl, it's not unprecedented. We saw Terrell Owens do it several years ago against the Patriots, and he played well. I think that is really asking a lot. Terrible. However, I just can't imagine that Rob Gronkowski, for such a delay, and we've seen him come back off injury before, and it takes him a few weeks before he becomes himself. Now you're going to ask him to do that in the Super Bowl.
And a back injury.
I don't think that would have been a wise use.
A broken leg is one thing. Yeah. This is a back injury, his third back injury. He's a guy that has a history of rushing back and re-injuring things. And, you know, it's funny, we're playing the Texans this week. J.J. Watt learned this lesson. They fast-paced his recovery from back surgery, like Gronk had, and he regretted it because he ended up playing against the Patriots early in the year and then going on IR.
Right.
And now J.J. Watt's even talking about, it's not about rehabbing it fast, it's about rehabbing it right. And I'm glad there's no pressure for Gronk to try to rush back or anything. Be right for next year, be dominant again next year.
All right. Chris writes in, and he wants to know what our opinion is of Ty Law's chances of getting into the Hall of Fame.
I think they're good. You know, we've talked about this on PFW in Progress. I think LaDainian Tomlinson is the lone lock. You even have questions about him. I think it's a class where Ty could be among the 4 or 5 guys who actually gets in. I think Jason Taylor is in the mix. But to me, Ty Law was one of the best corners in the game for a period of time.
Great combination of numbers.
Yep. And, championships.
Know, I think the same amount of interceptions as Deion Sanders, as an example. I think 53. Longevity and a huge integral part of championship teams. So yeah. I think he has that right combination. And Andy's right. It's not a great imposing class. I think LT is the only one that stands out as a lock. I think he's got a great shot.
Yeah. Well, a big player in big games.
And the good news is we might find out the day before the Patriots will be in Houston to play the Super Bowl.
And it's all on our buddy Ronnie Borges, right? Get it done. Get it done, Ronnie.
He can be very persuasive.
Robert writes in, with the Super Bowl coming up, who do you fear the most when it comes to the NFC?
That's a tough one for me because you have to have a leap. But I'm going to tell you it's the offensive teams. It's Green Bay and Atlanta. And people might be laughing because I said the Falcons, because you're thinking, the Falcons are a bunch of chokers. I agree. But if they get to the Super Bowl, that means they sort of got over the hump. And they were able to put that offense, the highest scoring team in football, I think they would create a lot of problems for any defense, not just the Patriots defense. So if they were able to get there, I would worry about those offensive teams that could keep up with the Patriots.
The Patriots are the hump. And the only team that I think can get over the hump is Seattle. They did it earlier this year. They fought tooth and nail in a previous Super Bowl. And oh, by the way, Thomas Rawls, the way he played, they might have a running game now to help out Russell Wilson. The defense is good. The Earl Thomas loss is big. I think that Seattle team is ready to get into a fight with the Patriots. Yeah. So they scare me.
I'm going to go for balance, and I think Dallas has it. I love that offensive line they have. I don't think any team shuts down Ezekiel Elliott for a whole game. I think they're balanced enough. They get a lot of weapons on offense, and I think they have a good enough defense. So,
the rookies don't scare you.
Yeah, I don't fear.
Don't worry.
Well, again,
rookie
they'll have
wall.
Gotten there.
Right.
Just
the
like
rookie
the other
wall could happen in Houston.
They'll have gotten there.
Good call. You used my own argument against me. Well done.
Yeah, it's also the most fun one. I'm actually rooting for yours. I think Patriots Cowboys is the fun
one. If it's Patriots Cowboys, that's America's team versus really America's team. Right?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
All right. Hey, we'll be back next week. Send your questions to askpfw@patriots.com.